Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 29th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Mike Hittner and Luke Conkle. They are joining us from the Historic Point Boss to talk about their whodunit. Looking forward to that. Right now in studio, we have our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James.
Good to see you.
You also.
And we have, of course, our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We say hi to you guys. Good morning. Thanks for being here, because it is morning when we film this. I will get used to saying the afternoon at some point. Good to have you here. Thanks a lot for being here, Shane. Let's go ahead and get right into some things as you're getting set up here. And I don't know if that one's going to stretch for you, sir. I don't know. You might have to go headphoneless.
That works.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay. If you can't hear me, I am not doing my job.
I'm sitting right across from you. I can hear you.
Shane, I want to go to a couple places today, and I'd like to know anything that's on your mind. But okay. I want to start with, of course, the dog park. The dog park is up and running. We're very excited about this. For some of our locals out there, can we tell them the location and some of the details of the dog park?
So the dog park is not currently open yet.
I'm sorry. But,
yep. So it
gonna be open is how I meant to put that.
Yep. You're correct. So it's about Saratoga and 25th Street is where the parking lot's going to be, and hopefully that will be getting asphalted in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So right now, I just talked to our prior to speaking with you. I was speaking to our park and rec director, and they're out there working on tree trimming and kind of cleaning up some things out there. But once we had gotten all the brush and trees out of the way, got the fencing up, and we had the gift of a very bumper crop of buckthorn, which is an invasive species. Yeah. So it's a mess. It's fast growing. So they got on it right away, sprayed it, cut it, and they'll be spraying it again. Hopefully then I'll be spot treating that in the future. But yeah, it was quite the surprise when all of a sudden it just started growing with a fury.
Worked a lot of construction in my life, and I'm reading the story, and the first thing that pops up is these how many times we were on doing a home improvement job or something, and we think we know everything, and then you pull up the tiling, yeah, and what's waiting for you is some disaster that you never even planned for or something like
that.
Yeah,
I was so surprised when he drove me out there, and we have this kind of nice airy grass area that's growing, and mm-hmm. they've been watering it, and it doesn't help that it's so dry out, but and then there was just all around this grass area was just a sea of buckthorn, and they're taking care of it, and it's not a huge problem, but it's just another hurdle.
We've seen recent stories in the last couple of years of cities like ours using goats to help get rid of some of this and everything. I should journalistically mention, big fan of goats. I like goats. I think they're fun. I think they're cool. So I have to journalistically put that out there right away. I'm a fan of goats, and goats getting jobs. Goats don't have a lot of work. So did you guys really flirt around with this idea?
So yeah, we actually, in a couple of circles, I've been speaking with people, and they've suggested goats, and maybe if we did some screaming goats and fainting goats. The screaming goats caused the fainting goats to pass out.
And, yes.
But then we were like, well, they also eat all the grass, and we're trying to grow grass. But so we kind of talked about that, since Wausau does it too. And
it was something that was thrown around.
Oh yeah, we talked about it. That's for sure.
What is going to be done with it though? What is the best course of action with something like
so
that?
So we sprayed it with a product, and then as it was starting to wilt and die, we went through and we mowed it down, and then we're going to spray again. Mm-hmm. Probably tomorrow, and then that will hopefully take care of a bulk of it. And then I think because of the seed bed, apparently I learned with the goats, when they eat buckthorn, they neutralize the seeds. So then once it comes out the other end, it doesn't grow. And so that's part of the problem with buckthorn is the seed bed, and that, it could take several years for all the seeds to germinate. So the goats kind of help neutralize the seeds, but so hopefully we will next year, we might have to close the park for a week to be able to spray some spot spray. But I think if we stay on top of it and not let it get away, then we'll hopefully be able to control the future growth.
I'm sure we're not unable to have an exact date or anything, but are we still looking to have the park open relatively soon?
Yeah, probably early fall, late summer.
That's great. I think for a lot of people, especially when I talk to people, and I think you and I even feel a little similar to this. Being able to get some use out of it this year would be great.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
I don't think anybody's demanding that or have these expectations or anything like that. But it'd be really fun to be able to use it a little bit more, or use it a little this year before winter hits and everything.
Yep. And the plan is hopefully, you know, depends on what kind of winter we get. It'll be open during the winter, so people will be able to still utilize it during the winter. You know, we've got some park benches we need to put out in there, and you know, there's some landscaping that needs to be done around the parking lot, and we have to figure out the exact what we're going to do because we ran water mm-hmm. in between the small and the large dog mm-hmm. park, so there'll be water on site. We need to kind of figure out how to manage that and some of those things like that. But and I think there's a friends group that are kind of talking about maybe meeting and getting together mm-hmm. to kind of figure out you know, kind of adopt the park of cool. like citizens. So yeah, it's all kind of coming together. But yeah, this fall we'll have a ribbon cutting event, and
we're looking forward to it.
Also at Park and Rec, we're talking about naming. So we're going to start a process on. We'll have to watch our Facebook page and our website about submitting suggestions for names, and then we'll ultimately probably pare that down, and then kind of have the community vote on the name. So. So come up with some creative dog names, which I'm sure there'll be creative names. But
we got a very creative community. Yeah,
yes, we do.
We're naming our WIRI chicken. Yeah, they got some names. They're going to have some names for you. That's a good one.
So that's coming.
Looking forward to that. And we were looking forward to something that happened in the last 48 hours and everything. We've got this new weather cam that I wanted to tell people about that is pretty cool. I love weather. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting and stuff. So I'm fascinated by this thing.
Yeah, so I know last year a community member, I'll shout out her name, Chris Bartek, she was kind of making contact with Channel 9 and kind of working through. And because, yeah, I thought the same thing, you know, where's Wisconsin Rapids weather cam? Because they're around here. And so so it kind of hit a wall for a little bit. And then one of our street supervisors, Cody Knudsen, he kind of picked it up because, you know, I know a lot of people in some of our supervisors specifically, they like to look at the weather cam during the winter, be able to hopefully kind of see what's going on our streets. And so he kind of picked up the torch and got it across the finish line. And last week they showed up and went up. I've been a part of the city since 1997. It's the first time I went up on the roof. And so kind of checked that out. And so I think they're kind of working out, finalizing connections, mm-hmm. External connections, because they can see it internally. And they're working on it, be able to see it externally. And, yeah, that should be up and running. They'll be on their website. And then hopefully we'll get a lot of exposure on Channel 9.
I watch Channel 9, and I'm a supporter of them. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, I worked really closely with a couple of reporters mm-hmm. over there sharing information, and it was really vital to our coverage and their coverage. Yep. Worked really well together, but I've also always been very honest with them that I think it's quite silly that they don't do a lot more reporting here in Rapids. Mm-hmm. We have got how many stations up there in the Wausau, Marshfield area, and nothing, no reporting here, mm-hmm. Nakusa, Port Edwards, all these titties, right. Cities that have so much going on. Mm-hmm. And they get that too. I think that they see that too, especially some of the people that are over there. And whether I've talked to them about possibly working there or just other things, they want to cover this area, I know. So this kind of stuff, I think, is going to be leading more and more to that.
Yeah, that's what I hope, because, you know, everybody likes to, you know, we have, obviously we have a great community, and, you know, if we can get exposure, you know, in the northern Wisconsin here, central to northern Wisconsin for activities here, I think it's good for the community. And yeah, I'd like to see a lot more too.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Recently, you and our good friend Sheriff Becker got to tour the jail. How'd that go?
Yeah, I had a meeting set up with him. He's like, hey, let's add a tour of the jail onto this. And I was like, absolutely. And wow, what a facility.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's all concrete block right now. We were standing up in what is a control tower. And it's amazing in the number of cells and, you know, how many people are going to be able to be housed there. And yeah, I can't wait to get another tour and kind of see the progress, but it's phenomenal. And, you know, it should hopefully meet our needs for many decades. And, you know, nobody wants to see us have to expand jail space and have to house more mm-hmm. people, because that's not the direction, you know, the goal would be to go smaller. But, I think we will be set for many years to come.
Well, for what it's worth, my family and I have decided to, be off. We're not on the other side of the tracks anymore. We're on the good side now. So that wing that you were going to have for the mail-offs, you don't even need that anymore. So you can save some money there. What about, first up, is everything on time? Is the construction pretty much everything going on time?
Yeah, it sounds like everything's kind of progressing and planning. Everything's going well. And, the county and the city have worked very well together with, the units of government and the staff, between our staff and the county staff, and very good communication. Meetings are set up regularly should we need to have meetings. And it's been good, because you hear about other communities where the cities and the county doesn't work so well. And apparently not too far from us, this is going on a jail project. And we're here, it's worked very well, and it makes things easier and less complicated for everybody.
Absolutely.
And, everybody, or at least for the majority, everybody's on the same page, and, they want to get this project through and hopefully smooth and without issues.
I'm happy to hear that, because I've been paying attention to some of our other cities that are dealing with similar situations, including like right above us almost. And I know that you know better than I do. We got some pushback on this when it was first being proposed. That's why it took so long to get to this point. Mm-hmm. But even some people that I talked to that I know were on the other side of this at one point, once the shovels went in the ground, everybody was on the same page. Yeah. I don't want to speak for the city. I don't want to speak for every member of the city. But I talk to a lot of people, and our listeners love to give me feedback and love to tell me when they don't like something or whatever. But to give them credit as well, they love to compliment things also. And I've gotten nothing but positive feedback about this jail. Along with that, the workers that have been working in that area, I've gotten nothing but good stuff from this. I think you're absolutely 100% right about this. The city, everybody is pretty much on the same page now. There's no stopping the progress. There's no stopping it. So it kind of feels like people, if anything, they came around to that.
Yeah, there's definitely a need. It's like, I'm sure the sheriff has spoken many times, the $1 million a year that we're spending moving people out of county. And, now this facility will be big enough to keep everybody here. And then potentially there might be some rooms to rent and some beds to rent, and which will help offset operation costs. And then we'll still have room for our own growth should we need it in the future. And it'll allow for programming and, all the other things that the sheriff is passionate about in our jail system, and the education that is going on, and, hopefully trying to keep that revolving door from revolving.
Yes. Not only keeping the clients, the people safer, but the expansion of knowledge and being able to have more that, and that just makes everybody better at what they do. And it makes our community safer, better. This is a smart investment. And we're seeing the progress of that. The construction already bringing some of that, I think, to it, where we're seeing people really understand that and get that.
Yeah, and we got Tim Giebert into the fourth courtroom, which will, sometimes court takes a long time. And for punishment to be effective, it's got to be swift. And so, if you can get that turnaround time going a little quicker and, getting sentences out and having room to carry out those sentences, hopefully maybe there's a deterrent in there.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a proposal to ending to city committee meetings going around, and I wanted to touch on this with you. For one, again, talking to listeners and such, I didn't talk to a lot of people in the community that were familiar with this. And so if we can talk about what the proposal is and what it means, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. So how our system works is in the beginning of the month, we have our committee meetings where the council has four committees that kind of handle business. They have the agendas. They spend time talking, going through those items. And then they make a recommendation, or then it's pushed forward to council a few weeks later, and the council takes that action on it. And some of the thought has been, because some communities do this, is that you have maybe a committee or a council meeting on the first Tuesday of the month, and then another council meeting on the third Tuesday of the month, and then you handle the agenda items there. So they're introduced there, they're talked about there, and then they're voted on there. And so some of the proponent to it is, or some of the positives to it is, that things can maybe happen quicker. But some of the You know, the cons to it is that things can happen too quickly, that sometimes when things are talked about in a committee, you get that week or two to ask more questions, kind of think about it, and people change their minds. But ultimately, it did go to a committee of the whole, and they voted. It ended up being a tie 4-4. So I don't get to vote in the committee of the whole meeting. I can only vote at a council meeting to break a tie. So that tie resulted in the item not passing. So it ultimately is a dead issue until it might be brought up again. But I, what I propose, and then Jake Catnow put in a referral for it, is that some of our ordinances need a two reading. So you come to one council meeting, and you read an ordinance, and if it doesn't pass unanimously, it has to go to another council meeting, which is a bottleneck, in my opinion, because now you're waiting another whole month for something to pass. And so what will come eventually to city council here, hopefully in the next few months, is that it'll go to one meeting and be done. Because under Robert's Rules of Orders, there's ways to bring it back, you know, motions to reconsider, motion to, you know, to change that yet. So it's not like once the council passes it, it can never be talked about again. But I just think that I've seen on council a few times where items have been held up because somebody didn't want, wasn't in favor of it. Maybe one person, they're holding up a project for another month. And I just think it's, you know, it can be dealt with within that month. Our traffic ordinances only need one reading, and it seems to be okay there. So I think the other ordinances can go through that same process, but we'll ultimately see what the council kind of decides.
I noticed this throughout the country, not just here in Wisconsin, but a lot of things that people have issues with at the state level, and they're taking it at kind of a community level when it's not necessarily the same thing. I understand that we're very frustrated in Washington and in Madison with things not getting done faster and that sort of thing. But on a local level, you need patience. You need more time with certain subjects. I can't think of many things that you can just just a day and we're done. You know, and move on. It's important for the community to hear this information, for them to be able to get feedback, as well as what you mentioned there. You know, you have a week to sit on something. I can see both sides of this. Do you have fall on a certain side of it? Or?
Well, I didn't get a chance to vote, but I kind of went through and I watched. And I'll put my opinion out there. I watched some of WAPACA's meetings, and they, that's how they do that. And I was going to plan on watching more, but ultimately I probably would have voted to try it. I know some people were apprehensive, especially internal staff, because it's a change, you know. But I'm okay with change a little bit, you know. And I guess I didn't want to close the door on an idea that potentially I think could have been good. And if not, then we change it back, you know, because we used to back not that long ago, we used to have two council meetings a month. And then, you know, unfortunately, one council meeting was really kind of nothing. But that's when we still had the committee process. So it just didn't work well. And so that's why ultimately Tom Rayom, you know, back when the city clerk, he was kind of a proponent of that, is going to, you know, having our committee meetings kind of held at that one council meeting time and then have a regular council meeting. And I think that's worked out well, but, you know, it can always be improved upon.
Well, it sounds like one of those things where, especially with a tie in the voting, that maybe a tinkering here or there, and it might pass. It might be one of those things that could actually, and I don't, there's nobody who's going to argue with faster, you know, government or faster work being done, especially when so many of these things are time sensitive.
Absolutely. Yeah. You hate to see a project kind of hit a wall, kind of wait for a meeting to happen. I can always call a special council meeting. And then trying to organize people to come on a special night. And I'm always willing to do that. I would never put a wrench in that. But I just think it could be potentially a different option.
Cranberry Blossom Fest, the 4th of July spectacular celebration we have, and of course the State Water Ski Show Tournament. Our area has some amazing events in the summer that we get to look forward to and that we get to celebrate. And one of them coming up, and it's really kind of, to me, one of the wrap-ups of summer, is the State Water Ski Show Tournament, and that is right around the corner, coming up the July 20th through the 23rd at beautiful Red Sands Beach in Lake Wazeecha. Largest, longest-running water ski show tournament. Our locals know this already. I'm not telling them anything they don't already know, but to other listeners out there, in case you didn't know, and we want you to welcome you to town here and everything for this event. It's a 4-day tournament featuring 24 of Wisconsin's best water ski show teams, 72 individual competitions, all vying for a state title and a chance to qualify for the National Water Ski Show Championship. Shane, you've been in this area a long time as well. This event is a big one. Is there anything in the event that you really look forward to that you're real excited about?
You know, I always like seeing the activity in the community, yeah, you know, that yeah. draws in a lot of people. There is some really amazing water skiing that goes on, things that are way beyond my capabilities. It's impressive. You know, they put a lot of time in it, and, you know, they do some pretty amazing things there. And, you know, on top of that, we have a large baseball tournament in town. It's a state junior, the Ramblers for Legion, and that starts this weekend, or I think Friday morning it starts. And yeah, that could be a four-day event here. And we're bringing in, I think, six teams outside of our local team.
Yeah, six teams.
Yeah, our local team gets an automatic bid, but they and then another team in our region here gets the – But yeah, and then six teams from outside the area. So there's going to be a lot of activity with baseball people around here and then all the water ski.
Hope they all have fun. Have a great weekend with
the weather.
That. Yes. They're not going to hear that. Hopefully the weather is good. And same thing with the tournament here. Mm-hmm. There are some things for people to keep in mind with the tournament. We have some areas blocked off. Some of the lake is unable to be used. Can we go over some of that?
Yeah, I'm not as tuned in with that because it's in Grand Rapids. But I did see on Facebook that there is you know, some closures on part of the lake just to accommodate water skiing. So you don't have any people kind of popping through there when they shouldn't be, and kind of messing up that whole event there. But
it's a fun event, a fun weekend, and we're looking forward to welcoming a lot of people from out of town. And I'm glad this is how good we are together, Shane. I wanted to wrap up with the baseball tournament, and you already touched on it. We last weekend had the guys in from the complex and talking about that and really the history of it, the proposal, the building, everything. One of the things that came out of that conversation to me was certainly all the things that we're looking forward to hosting and having, and that we can, as we go forward here and the state starts to learn more and more about this gem that we have here. But I love the idea of the things that we don't even see coming yet.
Right.
That like 2-3 years from now, we're hosting or we're doing said event and we're like, wow, I didn't even think about this. When it comes to potential in this area, is that one of the major selling points that you have when it comes to businesses or just residents in general?
Yeah, you know, I think one of our huge assets is our central location. And, you know, not everybody plays sports, but a lot of people spend a lot of time and a lot of money on traveling sports. And so, you know, if we can have facilities here, like, you know, last year we had the 8-man state football tournament here at our turf football field. And now, like this weekend with our baseball at the quad, and then I think next year we might be in a running, hopefully, for a state bid for the Rangers. And so I think the more exposure we can bring people here, and like in the springtime when we have Platteville and other, I think Platteville and Point were playing at the Quadplex, you know, college baseball teams. Yeah, so the more exposure we can get here, I think, and hopefully through WIA that they see this and recognize that, you know, here's an opportunity to be to a central location with amazing complex, amazing fields, the people, scout, and everybody in the school district that put in time there and trying to get that place to, you know, keep it up to standards. And I think that's really good for the city.
We've got the old Shopko Mall businesses moving in there. We see other kind of a business, empty building all of a sudden sign and things moving in. It's an exciting time in this area.
Yeah, it's keeping us hopping, and you know, we're trying to help these organizations and businesses. You know, I'm a fan of like pulling away hurdles as we can to help them out, but obviously there's always a few hurdles. But yeah, there's activity going on, and there's hopefully going to be some more activity coming up here, like you said, and you know, Harbor Freight being open, and you know, seeing I went to the grocery store last night, and you know, seeing the lights on in that parking lot again, and seeing some activity and some cars is a good thing. And and as the other three stores, you know, get going and get their build outs done and open up, there's gonna be a lot more activity there. And it's just, you know, it's like the days of old of Shopko, the cars and people running around there, and you know, that's good. And then there's two outlots that are going to see some development, and so going to be a lot of activity in that area. And then hopefully Staples Building will come, something will come of that, because that was sold not too long ago to a developer. Man. And so hopefully there'll be some activity there coming up. As they've done their parking lot of Staples, and they've kind of done some work around there already, marketing it.
Nice work over there. Yeah. And plenty of exciting things going on around here. Plenty of exciting things to talk about next month, I'm sure. Looking forward to talking again real soon. Shane, if people have follow-up questions, want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Well, you can call my office. You can call my direct line, 715-421-8202. I try to answer it. If I'm unable to, my assistant will gladly answer and help out also. And through our Facebook page and our website, we have ways you can contact us also.
Yeah, wirapids.org is a fantastic website. Be sure to check that out. And as always, appreciate the time, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks, James.
Also, a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Be sure to go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, like and subscribe to that page, and keep up with the great work that they are doing. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.